Good morning, my name is Samuel Madiwana. I'm a permanent resident.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. I am Deputy Director General at the Liability Management International Station.
Chair, and good morning to the honorable members. My name is Nick Makoito, Auditor General of South Africa.
Morning, honorable chair and honorable members. My name is Jemina from the ATSA.
honorable chair, honorable members. My name is Colin Sogobela, senior manager from Auditor General.
Morning, honorable members. I'm Vikas Janssen from Innsbruck, senior manager of the General Hospital.
very much. I think the gentleman here that we
good morning. I'm Dumiso Komete, National Treasurer.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I've been very close to you there, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for allowing me to present House Lee's former member of this committee and to Mrs.
Yes, you're a former member of the committee, but who are you now?
I am Arashin Shingise, an old a member of the Standing Committee of Finance.
All right, okay, okay. Right. We welcome you to have you with us today. Challenge to find space for us to do so. We are also aware that the annual report is not going to begin next month, so we could as well have just waited for next month. But first of all, unlike what might probably be going on there, we don't call people to have a session and that's where it ends. Our interest is in how do we also assist the institution? How do we assist the ensuring that those things that need to be corrected, they are also part of the process. So we never felt it will determine what the way forward should be. We are aware that for the year under review, the entity was not audited by the auditors. It was not be audited by the auditors. And that the annual report that is coming now by the institution. Now, that is very frustrating for my something that the organization might know. Back in Kenya, continue to do a key strategic public entity, lead the head of the organization, without which oversight is really ending in terms of understanding and appreciating the extent, depth, challenges that might be. So we decide our government. Now we have looked at the annual report and without failure it has those challenges that I've spoken to in the present of the report from the audit which hardly that we wanted was not the information that we was going to prepare and to pledge the information that we wanted there. So, and, you know, we will receive the two files that are here on Monday. some of the issues that I was given, it was Monday, for people what prepared the presentation. Thank you. asked by Ernest & Young. Has been a constant feature. In fact, in the last year, with 17 million down the line, we said, no, get rid of the because you also say you can't show what it is that you've done. And after we had said that,
I'll get onto this.
We are very narrow in our focus. We deal with the issues. That's the long and the short point. We have called for the engagement to look at irregular as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. That they might cooperate here. They'll be able to pick up some issues from their finance related and expenditure related to give us a good picture about what is the state of affairs. So I've had two meetings with the politicians. So what I'm going to do, Chairperson, please the presentation that for the improvement I appreciate that very much all through it. But how we are going to do this here is that we know what we want to find out. So instead of allowing you to tell us anything and everything that you know, we'll direct you. What are the responses? All want to have an idea yesterday, even an extra time. So the sooner we're done, the better for us. So we have covered Kekale, we're going to do the regular expedition. They are going to lead us, and only when they are done with their questions, we will allow other groups to talk to us. I wanted us to go straight into the issues that I see in Covid Chiran and Covid Flow.
Thank you, Chairperson. My apologies, just to delay you. But I just thought, Chairperson, we should talk about the issue of information. The issue that you have highlighted in the chair will have pressed that it is really hampering us to do our work efficiently if we don't get information in time. The files that you spoke about, the report that you spoke about, that is the draft that we don't have a preview as members. Because I believe, Chairperson, that if that information has come earlier, to us, we would have been able to connect the dots with the annual report that you are having before us. Just to stress to the country, it doesn't fit well. I can hear you that your BP has gone down. I think mine has went up, and it's not helping to the family. We really have to say this. So, and for the fact that FAA has also delayed to table their report. That also happens afterwards because the public is really relying on us to give them information and interpret whatever that it is said so that everything is clear up front and without any interest. I just wanted to say that too. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't want to repeat what's been said, but I have two questions.
And on that page,
manifest just indicate this. I don't know whether it's because I'm very used to the report of the Auditor General. They are very careful. And where once it comes to private audit firms, they tend to be very vague. And with this particular audit report, there is too much trail, which are contrary to the information out there. And that's what I want us to untangle right now, so that we get our fears at a high level, so that all these expenditures and the finances that have been indicated to be irregular in this book, we get comfort as you would take on the issue. Let's then go to the last paragraph. In fact, before that, there is internal control at the bottom. Last sentence says SAA continues to be fully compliant with all those sections of the PSMA that I indicated there. And then we go to the going concern. There's a first line which bothers me. As with previous years, SAA remains undercapitalized. What does that mean?
I think I had wanted to make a comment and respond to the late submission of the report, but maybe let me just zoom in to the question. We take responsibility of the late submission. On the question of the honourable member on the annual report, I'm going to ask the CEO and the CFO to respond.
Honourable members, I think the question of undercapitalization will be addressed by the CFO. However, I need to say that when we look
at the program, is it that complicated?
Transferred from Transnet to become a fully owned company, it was not capitalized at that time. So the question.
What does capitalized mean?
Well, what it means, Jefferson, is that the equity was not injected in the company.
What is the equity? You mean money? Money was not injected.
Yes.
And that's just money. Yeah. Well, money was not injected. When was it taken from Transnet?
It was in the early
90s. Oh, you have been complaining about something of 10 years ago. Okay, that's fine. That's the clarity that we wanted. We understand what it means.
Okay. Now, now that you have given us a response, more likely we your undercapitalization means that there isn't much funds coming your way. The way I understand FAA, though I think all entities, they're supposed to be generating capital. But you're complaining that you are underfunded. How does this work?
Honourable Member, yes, what has happened over the years, we have been funded through guarantees from government, which then meant that we had to go and raise loans to be able to meet some of the capital requirements of the company. And because of that, we have a very huge interest bill that we have to take care of. I can just give an example that in the last year...
Are you suggesting that the government guarantee was not a response to the particular situation, but it is actually supposed to be an integral part of your family's arrangement?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. And just as a clarity there, yes, Chair, what we requested to the shareholder was because we have a total of 19.1 billion guarantees, that we have to go and source funding at the back of those guarantees. But the service cost for those in 1 year, for example, we pay an interest of 1.2 billion. That is the servicing of those guarantees. So we then requested the shareholder for capital injection. I think also, just to add on that, under capitalization, when SAA launched long-term turnaround strategy in 2013, it was built on the assumption that the shareholder will inject cash of 8 billion.
Was it an assumption or not to develop a strategy on the basis of assumption? I mean, your shareholder, why can't you talk to them? They agree or and then when you formulate the strategy, it is based on money that is not on adoption.
Chairperson, yes, it was an assumption. It was not an agreement. And that assumption was not fulfilled.
No, it was not realized. So it was an assumption, not a problem.
Sorry, Chair. I just want to say that the entity has negative equity as of March 2016. It has 12.2 billion negative equity, so it has no funds to operate. It has to go into some form of support from the shareholder via the guarantee, so it works on debt. We've got no equity, so zero on that equity.
So, come out with a plan. I need not mine.
Yes.
I find it very strange. Because FAA has got lots of luxuries, unnecessary luxuries, and yet you don't have money, but you do afford to get those luxuries. We get into an SAA, we're presented with all different kinds of newspapers. How do you afford to buy so many types of newspapers when you don't have money for your daily operations? How do you afford to do it?
I think I do accept the point, because the point you're making is that we're supposed to be conservative in terms of spending. To perhaps talk about a cost compression program, we started that when we realized that actually we were having a problem with generating enough revenues to cover our costs.
But you have said from your perception you are undercapitalized. mean, from the time you learned transit, you were limping. So there could never have been a time when you felt, you know what, a flush with cash and therefore got in trouble. That's what it means from where I'm at. Right from the way from you had a there was no point in which you could have had the freedom to be struggling. So, what do you call it? Expenditure compression or?
The cost compression.
Cost compression. Something that should have been right from the window. I suppose that is what it means. At no point should you have had the luxury to.
I take your point, Chair. I agree with you.
Okay. On the same paragraph, the going concern, there are, I think it's more like instructions to you from the audit firm. It's four bullets at the bottom of the page. The first one says the primary focus of the board must be to retain the airline's financial sustainability. SAA must implement more aggressive cost-cutting initiatives. The board is required to appoint a permanent CEO, CFO, and other key executives. I have now the chairperson was directing me to CEO and CFO, I presume you are.
I am not permanent, I am the CEO of SAA Technica. I am acting currently as the CEO. However, the CEO has been appointed and he will be resuming his duties.
Okay. Chairperson, what's happening to the directive of the auditor in order for your firm or your company to reach that sustainability?
Chairperson, thank you very much. My response will be to say part of the requirement by the lenders was to appoint a chief restructuring officer. It was in the form of consultants. We've had those consultants that were assisting the airline to look into various business units to ensure that we are working towards the implementation of our strategy. With the appointment of the new board last day in October, I know Honorable Chair, you said I must respond in a very short way, but I want to try and be short and concise. With the appointment of the new board last day, the turnaround strategy was reviewed by a new structure called Turnaround Strategy Oversight Structure of the Board, which is a committee. They did that together with the consultants that were appointed. The consultants were appointed for this month, February, I think it was on the news as well. February is known for their expertise in the aviation space, and therefore they were going to assist us to review the current turnaround strategy and ensure as well that it is implemented. What is currently happening is that now we have an implementation plan which is also monitored by the turnaround strategy committee of the board, which monitors that process. I think in line with what you have asked, Honorable Member, part of the cost compression process is also monitored by the board. And maybe let me stop there because there are other initiatives that the board has started to implement. Thank you.
Can you please take us through your cost-cutting initiatives?
I think the CFO will be able to take you through, but part of the luxury you're talking about is the travel, free travel as part of the employee benefits. That has also been looked at very closely, and no one travels without having to go to the CEO to ask for the free travel, if the free travel is granted. The CFO can then talk to some of the initiatives that talk to cost compression. Thank you.
Are you a permanent
CFO? Chair, I am a permanent. Thank you, Chair. I think before the I'll just give you three top initiatives that we have embarked on. The company has completed the 5-year turnaround plan on the 30th of June 2017, and in that it's made up of revenue enhancement and also cost optimization, which is cutting cost. Also, it's fair to highlight that 65% of SAA's operating expenditure is made up of labor cost, lease rentals, maintenance reserves, and fuel. So what we have then did was to derive and compile initiatives where we will cut those costs. For example, we are engaging with the lessors, because the majority of our aircraft, we are leasing them to the lessors. So we are engaging with the people of reducing the lease rentals, reducing also the maintenance reserve. In fact, on the maintenance reserve, because how the business works with the lessors, we have to pay them up front, and then when the company does the service on that aircraft, you then go and claim that money back. So one of the initiatives that we are doing is to engage with the lessors and not give them the money, because the money gets tied with them, but rather give them the letter of credit to say, this is the letter of credit, the company will be able to do the service when the service is due. That we're doing, and we've been successful on two of the lessors. Manage on the leases that have expired, we've managed to engage and reduce the lease rentals. We went out on them, we then also looked at the, what you call, some of them with non-core assets. For example, we have the vacant land in Cape Town. We are engaging with one of the FOC that is interested in buying that vacant land. So we are pursuing those. And also we identified the top 20 suppliers that are paying the most of the cost, and we will be engaging with them. We are engaging with them with the purpose of reducing the rate that the company is paying. So I think to give you comfort, the 5-year turnaround plan that has been with the assistance of the aviation experts that we have done, it's made up of the initiatives for 5 years, split into each year in terms of what the company needs to do. Further to that, it's been split per quarter. So we've got initiatives and we've got dashboards that we sit with. In fact, we've got an oversight from the shareholder, which is National Treasury. On a weekly basis, we report to them to say, this is what we have done. These are the delays. This is how we're going to ensure that we progress.
I hear you. So 55% of the expenditure is on operation, and then 35% is expenditure. Now the 20 companies that you are mentioning, which are costing you mostly, can you be able to identify if all 20 are operational or some are just in the luxuries that you provide, which are actually not necessary to be provided?
On the top 20, it's more the operational ones. And in fact, what we have done when we're defining that top 20, we took out first the regulation ones, because they are the regulation services that the company has to do. So we took out those. The top 20, I think we quantified it in terms of quantum. So the one for example, for newspapers, do not fall into that category of top 20, but we can review. also, thing you chair, I think I would like to highlight as well. Also, I think on the issue of news media, we will review Chairperson, but I think also it's important to highlight that the business model and the offerings of SAA, we've got business class and also we've got economy. So we then offer different offerings. One of them is the newspaper. I hear your point, maybe we should not be giving three types of newspapers. We can give one. We will review that.
No, sorry, I'm suffering from fever. The latter remains the latter, even if you provide one type of a newspaper, even if you provide one type of a history. If it's not necessary, it's not necessary. It doesn't matter. Business class, I understand, is much more expensive than your economy class. And what I want to establish is all everything else that you offer under business class worth the ticket that is paid? Is all of these other things that you provide, are they added to the cost of the ticket?
Yes, the luxuries are taken care of by the cost of the ticket of business class. Again, if you look across the world and you compare ourselves in terms of our service offering in our business class sector of the aircraft, we cover to a large extent what we offer as a service in that country.
I'm not asking you the question.
Well, what I'm saying is that you've asked if we all the luxuries are covered by the fare, and saying yes, they are.
Okay, I hear you. There was four. Okay, funding must be secured to meet the airline's liquidity requirements. Can you unpack that?
Check through you maybe before the FCO reports. The cost of doing business at SBA is very, very high. I think the CFO has alluded to it. But what I would like to add is that there are certain decisions that were taken a while back. Those decisions appeared to be good decisions at that particular time. Like, for instance, the talking leasing of aircraft. Those leases are paid for in dollars or euros. So they are unavoidable costs of currency fluctuations there. Secondly, those aircraft belong to SAA. But when they were sold and leased back, at that time, at the...
clear that part. Those aircraft belong to SAA.
Yes.
What? Just go back.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, I think, to be precise, it was between 2001, when we had a turnaround strategy from America called Clinton Coleman Andrews. Coleman Andrews was given a task by the then board and the shareholder to turn the airline around. Part of his strategy to turn the airline around was to look into the business to say what is it that he could do to assist the airline. Even at that time, the airline was struggling to assist the airline to go back to its profitability, or at least to have financial sustainability. Therefore, his strategy was to sell our assets that we owned as SAA. Now, because those assets were sold,
he did a transaction called sale and lease back. So he sold this aircraft. In the bottom line during his tenure, Honorable Chair, it appeared that he had done his job. He was given handshake. He was thanked because he had done handshake. It was about 230 million. Because at the bottom of, in fact, the annual report at that time showed that the airline was profitable, because the people bought all our aircraft, and then he went to the same people that bought aircraft. He leased them back to us. So these people are all over the world. Some are in Australia, some are in Ireland. So we are continuously paying for these leases. But also, Chair, as my honorable board member, Mr. Asker, said, the company does not have money. We are servicing these debts that appear.
This is not the historic mineral exchange kind of situation.
Chair, in order for us to fly, we need the aircraft. So it's the same aircraft.
No, I understand. I'm just saying that this magician from America, I'm just repeating the topic because we are now settling this problem that I'm struggling to understand. How did you go through?
Chair, if I may, just to be straightforward on this one.
Why
in a very, very difficult position? SAA is an airline which doesn't own aeroplanes. That's what SAA is. And this is a legacy problem that you are having. So what ends up happening, for instance, when SAA talks about guarantees and so on, you are getting guarantees there, you keep on increasing your debt and you keep on increasing your debt services. So let's, as South Africans, let's just accept that the decisions which were taken at that time were wrong decisions. And we're having SAA, a very, very weak balance sheet, and we're at SAA, an airline, which doesn't have aeroplanes. I think on of a fleet of about 60, we own about nine aeroplanes. The rest, somebody else's aeroplane is guaranteed that it's going to be paid every month. So it is a fact.
How much are you paying?
Mismanaged money which is a debt to you, that has to be saved. And a person lives with that money, mismanages it, and nothing happens to them. With these four directives from the private auditor, in terms of trying to stabilize the company, I do not see either of them working. Whichever way you can try. Perhaps there is a magic that you can come out with. There is even a guarantee which was signed on the 8th of September, 4.7 billion. That's the tip of an iceberg. That's compared to all the operational costs. But I still maintain that I don't think you are obliged to Luxembourg that are going to render South Africa a very useless country that doesn't have its own airline. Because those Luxembourgers are taking money that you need most. And you have resorted to pay the consultants that were doing the turnaround strategy. I don't know how much was that. That also was not necessary when there is a board and there are skilled people in the top management to deal with the finances of the company, because a consulting firm will come, charge you an exorbitant fund, still give you work that you must implement yourself. And without a skill, you can never implement it, meaning which you have a clue and an idea of how to run a company. You don't have an idea of how to run a company. You can be given a strategy, you will never run with it. I do not know whether when in South Africa we are going to realize that we don't need consultants, but we need to employ skill, our own skill. A person from, I don't know where, common came comes to South Africa and just sells ourselves everything. We are going to be a South Africa that doesn't have an airline. I do not know, Chair, but the going concern is problematic. I just wanted to get to the going concern as stipulated in the annual report is problematic, and I foresee it's going to be much more problematic. I'm not trying to prophesy what Auditor General is going to bring to us next month. But that going concern is going to be much bigger than much easier. There is no way out. And you seriously have to consider how do you cut the cost. You work with service providers. Some are reflected on this spreadsheet that you are going to deal with. But you seriously have to sit down and consider, do you need them? You need to pay someone else so much money for something that you can do yourself. Do we need to get a newspaper when we go into an aeroplane, or we can buy newspapers there exclusively? Because our country, if ever this going concern is not looked into with a very serious in.
How does the turnaround strategy address that question? How does it address that question? This very situation where they operate for
Okay, sure, thanks for your guidance. Okay, let's jump into the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. In the spreadsheet you've given us, there's two in fact. There's one with different categories, and then there is one which attempts to detain each and every transaction. Can we start with the one that has transaction? And let's first start with page 6, page 7, and no, page 6 and page 8. Last column, the management action taken. On page
which
6, page 6 and page 8. Jump 7 and go to 8. The management action taken. On all of them it says ongoing interaction with service provider to recover money. Then my immediate attention gets drawn to the annual report itself in 2015-2016, and they are date provided there, that is July to September 2015. But the outcome in terms of action is still a ongoing. Who's responsible for this thing? That takes over 2 years to get the pay-in money back or deal with the people that have spent the money in vain.
So many.
That was not the question.
So I'm going to.
No. Then go to the question. The question is, those cases there on page 6, they were committed around July, as you say, July, September 2015. And you are saying in the last column, the extreme right, ongoing action service provided to cover money. The question is, why is it taking so long? Why does it take 2 hours, 2 years for you to recover the money? And who is responsible for this supposed interaction with the various companies to recover the money that is lost, which you yourself have classified as complex waste? That is the question. Where are we? Why has this not been recovered after 2 years?
Thank you, Chair. This was a challenge to recover from, especially the African countries. Because when we started engaging with the suppliers in Africa and the way they do business, some of our contracts which indicated that if one of our suppliers in Africa, who is responsible to ensure that the controls are in place, and we need to make sure that when we incur this penalty, we recover from them, then that's the challenge that we are having. That's the reason why we are trying to get back the money from those debt service providers that we have contracted in those checking areas.
That process takes more than 2 years. I presume that there is a certain person who deals potentially with this transaction, and they know the relation of all other airports where SAA flies to, and over service provider that you work with. Because if you are working with a certain person, there is always an understanding between the two of you. So what happened to that relationship, which then makes it so difficult for South Africa to get its money back? Who's this person who's dragging their feet? I cannot accept that over 2 years you're still struggling to speak to a person whom you have an understanding with.
That response to the European force. You see, that's a problem for everything. The outcomes are passing. So that's the problem we have in Africa. So, in all the end states, in all the states, from Harare right up to America, so it comes to practice. An African airport taking 3 years, all of them. Who is the SAE responsible for following up on this case?
Chairperson, the cases are followed up by our operations department. I think we need to be honest with the committee to say the problem is actually twofold. Firstly, we follow up, but also secondly, it's really a matter of people not following up on some of these things, and then they are caught up early. So it's really a two-fold issue here, Chairperson. Sometimes we follow up, and then we find that it's difficult to get the money out. But secondly, the question where people maybe do not follow up, and then it comes out a bit later that they didn't follow up. So it's not just one to come here and come to the mission. No, Chair, I don't think that's generally how they behave.
No. Colleague, that's what she said. That's a problem.
I think, Chair, we need to withdraw that because it's not necessary.
Okay, continue. Now, amongst yourselves, who is the senior person who deals with operations?
Oh, she is not amongst us here, Chair, but ultimately it rests with me as accountable for the organization.
So you are the one who is failing to collect money within our own country?
I think, Chair, as an overall accountable person, yes.
Okay, Chair. I'll make my remarks on that when I get up. There is cases which I have underlined. Which are related to the memorandum of understanding, and they have come at a court. Like the case in page 9, it's an Abu Dhabi country immigration visa. That was 87,074. But you commenced the operation. Commenced in March 2015. They should not aware of requirements for transit visas in Johannesburg. We should address with station who will ensure compliance. I don't understand what has happened. And there's a several of them. Another one, the same Abu Dhabi, July 20, on page 7, on 12, I think it's a few lines from the top. It's also 126,000.
Thank you. So the monitoring and investigations of this cost, because as we collate the information, we need also to understand how they are incurred and what is the action that has been taken by management. It was brought to our attention as compliance office that at the time when we initiated the route of Abu Dhabi, there were certain elements which were not concluded or they were not part of the discussion. One of them being the requirement of the visa from a passenger that... So during the initial stages when the route is being opened by us or in agreement with the country, the representative that went and discussed the requirements that is required for the route to be successful or to operate and what is required by the passenger. The part of visas, it was not discussed or not clearly articulated in terms of whether it's a requirement of a passenger leaving South Africa to go to Abu Dhabi.
Surely, once you fly out of South Africa to another country, the issue of the visa should be the first issue to be clear whether you need a visa or not. Who amongst you was responsible for your conversation?
So it's our commercial department that is involved in
another. Somebody went to negotiate.
The chair is announced to me at the moment, again, depending on when this was done, it could have been people within the commercial department that went to negotiate that.
Yeah, you
computer and not in high young menus. A person could have been. So you employ people that you are not sure. Honourable Member, if I may, for the year under review, 2016-16, the General Manager of Commercial that Captain Diego is talking about was the main boss. Name of the General Manager of Commercial was Sylvain Bosch. He was one of our employees. I'm so sorry.
Where is he now?
He's left. He was an expatriate as well, like Coleman Henry. He was from France. Thank you.
But that happened under you.
It happened under me, but the general manager or any other member of the executive is the responsibility of a CEO. We don't employ the executive.
Mm.
CEO.
Well, at the time I was CEO of technical, not executive. I only joined later. That's how.
How many other French students or American students do you have in the country? Okay. Foreigner. Foreigner would mean anyone from outside Africa.
Currently, Chair, in the Expo, we have none of the foreigners, but in the company, there would be several. Because we operate in different countries.
Is it possible that you can recover this cost from the Bosch? Because there is no way that you go and sign a contract. The specification that your office gives to a person, I want you to go and still deal with this again. And the specification of us as SAA is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And the person who wrote up those specifications is well aware of the environment and how traveling is undertaken. And therefore, I find it very, very difficult for a visa not to be part and parcel of the specification of transfer. Because that's what the explanation is saying. What's written here, now, I don't understand. Perhaps it's too big English for me. But the explanation we are provided with says that particular specification was the certain pattern of the other. And I cannot understand, I cannot get it why. But when you travel, you need a document. And each country has got its own documentation that it requires from each person flying into your country. Like your country requires different documentation. So can we get our money from that person? Because there's no way that that deal which has been signed is going to still cost you other fines in that Abu Dhabi. And people are still going to fly into Abu Dhabi with the documents that are not correct. Can you locate them?
We will look at it, but I think it was subsequently corrected after it was highlighted. But we will look at getting the
So you have corrected now the memorandum of understanding between South Africa and Abu Dhabi.
Well, what has happened, Chair, is that we stopped flying to Abu Dhabi.
deal with with Etihad was terminated.
Was it terminated because of this, or was it terminated because it was other problems? Because when you terminate, there is something wrong. It's not the end of the contract. Why did you terminate?
It was not because of this. It was the economics of the deal that made us to terminate the agreement with the ETF.
How did you sign the first? How did you look at the economy? How was it signed? You signed first and then that is the contract and then the agreement would just terminate.
It's a bit difficult to explain. We were misled by the expatriate employee on this particular matter, and this is the reason why he had to leave the company.
Expatriate.
The board signed on this Abu Dhabi business case with information that was taken out and that was then brought to our attention. And later on, we realized that we were going to be 300 million per month on the route that we were told we were going to be profitable. Internal control. That speaks loudly to internal control. First and foremost is trust. But I think there's a lesson for you to learn. It's crushing. And perhaps because you are signing a deal for your own country and for your own company's profit, you need not to be apologetic to send your own person to do it. You cannot be apologetic for that, because we are the only country that's going to be without an airline, simply because we want to be friendly and do all that nonsense. We can't allocate a person who has cost us so much money, which then can contribute to the petrol or the fuel of the aircraft. And yet you're going to have to pay it, because it's a fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Unfortunately, we don't control those things. Someone must pay it. Treasury notes. We're not going to control it. It becomes your problem. Okay, then there is two cases on page 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 9, 4 and 5 on top. There's an interesting comment there. Tim was reprimanded. Track it back, it's France, I presume. That abbreviation then is France, am I correct? FRA. On the department is FRA, and then your comment says Tim was reprimanded on line 5 and 6, page 7. Why you reprimanded these people and you did not recover? Because everyone else was a staff member here.
Especially
it says here employees. Your description of this is employees. And here in South Africa, you even recovered a child and something on PE. But this one was reprimanded for 15,000. What's the logic? Why didn't we get our money back from those two people?
I think.
But in the first place, do you see the pages she's referring to?
Yes.
Okay.
I think if you look at the consistency within which the disciplinary code is applied across the company, I do take the note that it is not consistently applied, because in this case, if you look at the...
inconsistency.
I'm just saying there's an inconsistency in the application of the disciplinary code.
So where are we going to get that money from? Or perhaps let me ask, amongst you, who deals with disability? Which manager, senior manager, is in charge of the HR?
Again, at the moment, we have a guy that is acting, and when these transgressions took place, again, there was an acting guy who's no longer with us at the moment. However, the issue of the consistency in the application of the disciplinary code rests with the manager of these people at the particular area.
It's very convenient that everyone who cannot account for his own, that someone is there to cover. On page 11, page 8, that's the last three pages. Your comment says employees involved are taken to disciplinary hearing. Then a contradiction comes. Ongoing interaction with service providers to recover money. There's two clarities I speak here. One, are these employees SAA employees, or are they employees of this service provider?
It should be SAA employees.
And then, why do you interact with the service provider? You are doing, there's two actions you're taking here. An employee is disciplined, and then there's a service provider that comes into play. Can you explain?
Thank you, ma'am. In most cases, we do have that service providers as ground handlers that are helping us in terms of the gate checkpoints and the gate in terms of security. So in the respect of a fruitless and wasteful expenditure that would have been incurred, that would be recovered on the service provider or and the employee involved, depending on the case. So in this case, it could be an employee of SAA plus a third service provider. That's the reason we are saying on this report that employees are then taken to the disciplinary due to our internal processes. The service provider is the one that we are having challenge in terms of recovery.
So, I want to understand, you mean, let's take one case, the first line, on page 11. You mean that the non-compliance is the immigration penalty? I want you to paint this picture very clear. The non-compliance is the immigration penalty. So a person, two people are involved in this penalty. There's a service provider whom perhaps is a person that counts. And then there's an SAA employee who performs what? Can you just illustrate one
thing? An SAA employee, it will be the check-in counter. The service provider will be the one who is sitting at the gate when you come in and you submit your ID and your passport. in school. So it's more about security and making sure that we are fully fledged as well at the gate. So it's SAA check-in at the counter where you come in and submit first point of entry, and then the other one will be at the gate where you embark on the aircraft. So on the particular transaction, to further to explain, so a passenger would have gone through the process. So the gatekeeper first would be a check-in counter, which is our SAA, and this would not have taken place, or we would have missed the control. And then it gets to the gate where there is a check, a service provider, and also that is missed. That's the reason why in one transaction you find both parties being liable.
So two people from two different companies provided training and the skill to check in people, check the ticket at the security gate to a third person. All of them cannot pick up a problem. All of them.
I think, Chair, to address this deficiency, we had to then embark on training the people that are involved, and also to continuously monitor if there is a recurrence of this deficiency.
Are you aware that next month we are receiving another annual report of the
department? I am aware.
From the ones you have disclosed yourself out of your own financials and your own audit team, you don't have this kind of incident within your
company. I will not say with certainty that we don't have. We probably might have some when we bring the report to you.
Is there possibility of bribes on this? Because these are immigration visas that are not detected, correct? Is there possibility of bribes? Because there's corruption going on. Because you have three pages where you are fined for people having wrong documents. And they pass through three different checkpoints. Isn't there a syndicate of some sort of happening?
I think it's possible that there is a chairperson. However, what we need to do to try and circumvent this is to get our internal audit to check the area again to see if there is a recurrence of this type of deficiency.
Before I wrap up, Chair, can we then, for us to make sure and for yourself to also make sure that this does not happen again, you need to have names. Because if there were names here, I would tell you Tom's name is appearing 10 times. Then you are able to connect the dots. So when your report comes out like this, it's very vague. It doesn't tell you anything. Can you then go back or call your HR department to give us the names while you're sitting here? They do have all these documents, the files of all these employees. They are within their disposal in your entity. Can you call them to give us the names of these people? In particular, where we have immigration fees, we can't incur costs of so much money. I think if I add up, it's correctly checked, it almost sums up to $500,000. And I'm not at ease if we don't get the name, we need the name. Names, there must be a column created within this same spreadsheet. They must create a column where they give us the names of the people involved. And the airport. Which airport? Because it only tells us the airport where this thing doesn't tell us which airport the person is coming from. In particular, from
can we promise that we can get that furnished to the committee within a week? We'll draw up the spreadsheet the way the number has requested, and we'll furnish it to the committee.
Going to deal with some of the issues that you have. It was in my introduction one. I was going to deal with them, but unfortunately I proceeded to express it. I would just need some confirmation before I start with the spreadsheet before me. Is that person here? Oh, okay. And the other issue that I have one confirmation of is when I read your annual report, to be honest, there's confirmation that you intend complying, that is, with the PFM. And we'll be looking at all those issues. But then with the accounting officer, I want to read the provision of the PFM so that you understand my line of question. Chapter 5, section 38. 1C subsection 2, the accounting officer must prevent the unauthorized, irregular, and fruitless and wasteful, that is, expenditure and loss resulting from criminal conduct. And I think we understand that this is mandatory. There are no negotiations on this. That's what the accounting officer is supposed to do in terms of the law. And all what we need to do is to apply the provisions of the law. And therefore, in our discussion, please be mindful that is of this fact. I will then go directly, that is, to the spreadsheet. Let's start on page 3 of the spreadsheet. And I take it that the report that we are dealing with here, which is the report of 1560. Let's look at the second item, that is in the spreadsheet. Are we there? Page 3 of the spreadsheet. This one.
I take it that it was provided by you. You confirmed genetics for you. Yes. Okay. Let's start with the very first, that is company, the Bid Air Suppliers. And the second column says no contract in place. We then move, the amount involved is 26,000. And the comment that is at the end, they are saying no disciplinary action taken. Second one, the request is closing on the 8th of July 2015. With intended to complete the award by the end of August 2015. Are you here? I want to say it like this. But you said, this is your report. You will be struggling. Okay. I take it that this is an updated report. Now, can you explain what is indicated in that column? First in the start is the multidisciplinary taken. The question is why? And the second question would be who is involved here? And I'll deal with the second one.
Chair, again, as I pointed out earlier, this happened in 2015, and I pointed out earlier that the inconsistency in terms of the application of the disciplinary code is what led to this type of thing that eventually ends up in progress and expensive. So in this case, again, if I look at what is stated here, that it fell in that category where in that area was not taken against the individual people.
But I read the provision of the Act. Clearly, that when you respond to these issues, you need to be mindful of your responsibilities. And that answer does not, I mean, deal with what I'm asking.
No, I am mindful, again, Jefferson, and I'm sorry I keep referring to the fact that at this time, I was not in this position. As a activity of
now. You're a successor in law.
Yes, I am a successor in law. Mm. And I think it is really an omission here in terms of the consistent application of the disciplinary code. And
when every experiment to come to proper meetings, these are the facts that you should have prepared. So it means you came all the way from Joburg to Cape Town without being prepared because you were not there in 2016, 2016. Why did you come in the first place?
I do apologize, Chairperson, for the note which I said. I think I do accept and I take the point.
Now advise us. You accept that you are in the wrong zoning office.
That's correct.
You accept that you didn't comply with the Act as an accounting office.
As stated, yes.
Now advise us. What must we do?
I think, Chair, as far as this issue is concerned, we will follow up as EXCO and as an accountable officer. I need to follow up on this issue, but I think I do accept the point as raised by the committee.
No, you're not a committee member. I'm
saying you are in violation of the act. You, not the exo. I'm saying advise us on the way forward. What must we do? Here the person in front of us is admitting that, no, no, I did not comply with the law. Now I'm saying, you advise us, what must we do? Because this is the Bible that we are using. And I'm happy, that's why I wanted to raise those issues that I read in your annual report. You clearly indicated that you are complying with the law. And hence I said, let's confirm this. And on the very first item, you have found that is wanting. Is that enough? Just to say point taken. Okay, we will look at that. But what I also don't understand is number two there. They are saying RFQ, the request for quotation, is closing on the 8th of July, 2015. And I changed it there to an August now.
Yes, 2015.
I'm saying we're in August 2017 now. I just want to check whether was that done. Okay. You selectively did the second one. You didn't do the first one. So interesting. I would then demand that you give us a report on what you claim now you have done, because I suspect that you did not do it. Okay. If you look at that, and the employee that you are referring to here, is he still in the employment of the company?
Yes, they are too.
Okay. And what are we going to do about it?
Well, we will take it from the process chair.
By when, maybe?
Before we come back to this committee, it should be before the end of this year. In fact, before the end of the month.
Okay. That goes for 1, 2, 3. And then let's go to okay. Let's go to the last one on the same page. Surpassage. We are saying there the contract expired. It's 118. Now you are saying in terms of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The fifth column from the comments, you are saying not applicable. I don't understand. Please explain that to me. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. Then you are saying a new RFQ to procure services for 2015 and 16 that is issued. Was this done after this or was it done before? And what regulated that, because we are saying there was no contract?
Thank you, sir. The contract was in place and it expired, and the RFQ process started, and then there was a delay in terms of getting the RFQ awarded. So when the person says not applicable, it's that the process has started on time and we went to procurement, but it was not finalized. So the person is saying, in terms of the division, I have started the process and something outside my control has actually limited me to get to that contract in time based on the process that was put in place. So I would define that not applicable, which I mean it's not the employee who is at fault.
Process was delayed at the procurement department. It's the commodity manager, Chairperson, that is responsible for this. Find out, yeah, and then I'll
find out from
you.
You don't even know
staff. We'll provide the name, Chair. We do know our staff.
But you are saying you're going to find out who's the community manager.
It's the commodity.
Commodity manager. You don't know it.
No, sir. There are many. It's one of the commodity managers.
Thank you.
we are recording the proceedings. You lie to us, it will be on the record. When we meet you, that is for the second time, we will be raising those issues. As I'm saying, I'll allow you, that is to spin it, it's fine.
Chair, we will not spin it. We were just trying to identify what it was and where it was.
Thank you, sir. As one of the controls that we have implemented as compliance to manage and monitor PFML and compliance, what we have done was that through the PFML forum, we have actually requested to have a contract or a register of all contracts so that we can be able to monitor them and also play a role in triggering the dates of, to highlight to the businesses the highlights of the dates of expiry before they come to us. This was one of the initiatives that we put in place to mitigate. So in this case, the response that we have written there is because we have followed up with the lounges, which is the operation, to understand due to all these non-compliance or declarations that were coming, that we're talking about expired contracts around the lounges, and the lounges being a key area that is required to understand how many of these are still coming, can we deal with it at, in terms of 1 point. And that's the reality of having the register, because we as compliance were requested that. But the contracts in terms of those regional lounges were expiring, and they needed extension, and we're trying to make sure that it's mitigated moving forward, because this was not acceptable as a core business that is required for our lounges to exist.
My question is, our chairperson normally says to us, in this committee we are dealing with what changed the patient. Now my question is, what happened here? Not what is going to happen going forward.
Various professional patients. Once you have wanted a list, they say it's Harare, Nairobi, Kampala, Shongwe. And this is how much you paid in Harare, this is what you paid in Kinshasa. Go ahead and say. Because your management action is actually a response to what has already happened. 1 million rand down the line.
Thank you, Chair. Can I request that we break down this information into that granular details, because you have consolidated in terms of regional or various, like UK regional. I understand where the Chair is saying. So can I provide the details in terms of exact each lounge, which area, what cost, and
who is the
manager?
Management of lounges.
Falls under operations, Chair.
With any operation. Or any operation.
Operations are headed by Zooks. What's his name? Ramasi.
He's the one who actually is managing this contract.
Provide the details per the lounge, the area, and it will also indicate who's responsible, as the honourable member has been requesting, in terms of who was responsible and what has happened to us.
But we don't stop there. And what are you then going to do? Will that also be included in that report?
Thank you.
because obviously action needs to be taken.
We will ensure we include that in the report.
Let's go to the one that is below that. The Europe and UK, Eurosave, you are saying no contract in place for cutlery and dividend payment. 487. That story again of non applicability. And we are talking about that is in the comment. We are saying assumed evergreen contract, but no copy of the contract is available in the UK. ROSAG was given 30 days notice on the 23rd of March. However, the challenge, I don't even understand, JNP not in possession to provide services, therefore contract continues on a monthly basis. Explain that to me. What did you like this?
Thank you. The information we code is collected every quarterly when we do our quarterly declaration. So this information would have been done round about the time that I've recorded the time like in quarter two in this case, because it refers to April to June. So that would have been quarter two of the financial year 2015-2016. So that document is collated at the time when we do the declaration and the verification is done at that point in time of the information. So this information, it has been there since the year end, because that's the same information that the auditors got.
But did you interact with this record? Or you just got the report from whoever, and you prepared a spreadsheet, and from there, you forwarded this to us. Did you go through this thing so that it makes sense that it's true?
Yes, sir. And those responses that are there are the responses that you receive when you have interacted with the GM or the head of division, and those are the responses that you get.
And they make sense to you to a certain point.
Yes, at the time when I was writing it and at the time of explaining, yes, because what they are saying is that, and that was the point of this speech and the point as well at that time, that you are saying there was an evergreen contract, but you do not find the scope of that contract, so you do not know even whether you are delivering against that contract. And now you have gone out and you want a tender, and you are saying that Johannesburg does not have capacity to actually serve you as the UK.
So you're actually working with a company that has no contract. And all the like major weeks we have an evergreen contract. Anyway, even at the end of, how many evergreen contracts do you have? But the apartheid legacy should have evergreen contract.
I think what we have to do is to check our database, because
don't tell me you don't know. Really, for you to manage the institution, turn it around, correct the wrongs. If you let me take a look at some of the key elements of